20852.
It's time for Fed Talk, the live show for feds in the know. From federal agencies to Capitol Hill, the attorneys of Shaw, Bransford, and Roth bring in experts from across the federal community to bring you inside the issues. Fed Talk is meant to provide general information about legal issues. However, the views expressed in this program are not intended to provide legal counseling. Listeners are cautioned not to rely upon any statements made in resolving legal issues they may face, but instead to consult with their own attorney about specific situations. Attorneys are not engaged in providing legal services while appearing on the program and are not responsible in any manner for the consequences that may stem directly or indirectly from reliance on any statement made during this program.
Good morning and welcome to Fed Talk. I am Tony Vernetti and I am filling in today for the lawyers of Shaw, Bransford, and Roth, who normally host the show. I am, of course, very happy to be here and super excited about our topic today. We are going to talk about young feds and how they are staying engaged and active as part of the federal workforce. And to help me with this discussion, I am joined, fortunate to have in studio today, David Uejo and J.R. Wysinski, and they're from the Young Government Leaders. Good morning, Dave and J.R.
Good morning.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
For those of you who don't know, YGL is it's a nonprofit professional association serving the interests of young people throughout government, and we'll get more into that later. We are also very excited to have on the telephone Steve Ressler, the founder and president of GovLoop. He's going to assist us with our discussion today. And in case you've been hiding under a rock the past couple of years, GovLoop is this really dynamic social media network for the government community, or as I like to refer to it, Facebook for feds. Good morning, Steve. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. Happy Friday, everyone.
Sure. Happy Friday to you. Just a reminder that Fed Talk is brought to you by GEICO, where 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance. For more information on GEICO, go to geico.com. If you like to join our discussion today, this is a live call-in show, and you want to speak directly to our guests, please call in. Our toll-free number is 1-877-936-9333. Or you can always email us a question at fedtalk@federalnewsradio.com. So, Steve, let me start with you. Many congratulations on your success, you know, of late here with GovLoop. For our listeners who are unaware of GovLoop, why don't you basically introduce GovLoop to them and give us a little bit about your background and the history and your reasons for founding it?
Great. That'd be perfect. So for those that don't know, GovLoop.com is obviously a website, and basically it's a social network for people that work in and around government. So by that, I mean federal government, state government, local government, great nonprofits like YGL, Partnership for Public Service, and good government contractors helping to improve government. And it's kind of like a Facebook for government or a LinkedIn for government. And what that really means, it's a knowledge network to help you do your job better. So, for example, today there was a question on GovLoop, what is the best place to get communication training in government? 15 responses from people all over government saying these are the best places where I would go if I was a new public affairs official in government. And we also have great blogs with thought leaderships on various topics. So just the other day, we had a great long blog on how to actually make knowledge management happen in an agency. So get past the hype and how do you actually transfer knowledge, especially generational issues, which we're getting in today, between the baby boomers who are going to eventually retire and pass on all the great knowledge that they've had to the next generation. So that's basically the site. I encourage everyone to join. Just go to govloop.com. It takes 30 seconds to join.
And it's free, right?
It's free. It's fun. And
if there's anything I know about government workers, they like free.
Yeah, they like free. And what I always try to do is I try to make government fun, too. So I think there's a bad stereotype that everyone works for the government, you know, kind of stuck in a cubicle, and they don't have personalities, but they don't like cool stuff. And GovLoop's cool, but that also makes you do your job better. So we have a lot of fun, and we want to be kind of the target for government, a cool brand that also gives you good value.
And let me just a little bit, Steve, about you. You're a former federal employee yourself, correct?
Yep. So I'm a third-generation public servant, so My dad worked 40 years at the IRS. He's retired on a beach on the old CSRS retirement, so he's living it up. My grandfather is a retired military and postal, and actually a lot of my family and friends work in government. My stepsister works at EPA. My sister's a teacher. My mom was a teacher. So always been passionate about public service. I came in the government out of a Homeland Security scholarship. I went to University of Pennsylvania for graduate school. I worked in a bunch of different places in government, Department of Education, Social Security, Homeland Security Inspector General, Homeland Security Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and it's kind of my passion is public service.
Yeah, and in your tour in the government, and I guess sort of also living it a bit vicariously through your family, how did you identify the need for a social network like GovLoop?
Yeah, and actually it hems from young government leaders, which I know we're going to talk later in the show. But I was actually one of the co-founders of Young Government Leaders, me and Megan Quinn at EPA. And that basically fit a need that we saw as young people, that we wanted to meet other young people like us across government. I was really curious, like if I was in education, who's doing what at EPA or CDC? And young government leaders, it took off. One of the first things we wanted to do is we knew that nonprofits and associations never succeed if the same person's in charge of it forever. So we purposely set up an organizational structure where there's a new president in elections, and we've actually had three or four great presidents since me. So it's awesome for me to be on the show with Dave and JR, who are doing amazing things with YGL now. But one of the things I did at YGL was I was responsible for our MySpace group when MySpace was cool, for YGL, and our LinkedIn group for YGL. And basically what I saw is that people didn't really want to engage and have real discussions about, how to do your job better or training or leadership on the same site with music and your fans and your family. So that's MySpace or Facebook now. You don't want to talk about the future of IT while checking out baby photos. And we also saw that LinkedIn, while it's great, is mainly a Rolodex. It's a place where people put up their resume, to put up their jobs. Yes, they do have groups. They're a little bit better now, but it's still primarily a job site. And as I was traveling across the country, I was lucky enough to speak a lot about young government leaders. I would meet all these smart people, federal, state, local, all ages, not just young, and we'd have these amazing conversations. And I would always think, like, I wish the other 100 people in my office could partake. Or I know there's someone who couldn't come tonight because they had a kid or they had to go and they were working late. And I thought it'd be great to have an online destination where you could share ideas and best practices in government and do it in real time and not have to wait to the next event or the next training. But, when you have a question right now, your boss says, hey, I want to implement a wiki. Can you create a strategy? You're on Google and you're not getting very good answers. And now we tell people go to GovLoop and you'll find your answers.
Yeah, I wonder if you can comment a little bit on some of the resources. GovLoop is so, I'm listening to you talk and I know, for what I've used it for, and I know one of the nonprofits that I've run, we've used it to post events that we were doing, used it to post, jobs and training sessions. So it's so much more. I like to, think of it as a place people can really go to when they're looking, to find information. I wonder if you just comment on sort of the resources that you have.
Yeah, so we think of it as a knowledge hub, and there's lots of different tasks you can do. So it's a place to meet someone to help you do your job better. Sometimes you want to connect with someone. It's a place where you can find out great events. So if you're interested in learning about an event in your area, we have a great events calendar. We have a job section, so where people actually post a lot of the jobs that are posted on USA Jobs, but also with a little bit of color, hey, we're hiring, this one in my agency. It's good. You should check it out. And we encourage people to post there. And then we also have different other sections. So we do have blogs, which is essays on how to do your job better. We do have discussions. And also we have other things. We have online trainings every month. We do a discussion. We did a social media part one and part two training series, which was an online training with great speakers. We had a live chat yesterday, actually, with the co-author of Macroeconomics, a best-selling book, Business Week, and Goldman Sachs is one of the best business books of the year. So for us, in the end, it's providing resources for government employees to help them do their job better.
You're listening to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We'll continue our discussion after this short break and a word from our sponsor.
And now, a word from our good friends at GEICO, where you could save 15% on car insurance. By now, you've no doubt seen those car insurance commercials with the talking gecko on TV. He's always talking about how people could save 15% or more switching to GEICO. Well, that sounds like a pretty good deal in and of itself. But get this. If you're an employee of the federal government, you may be eligible to save even more than that. That's something the gecko didn't mention in all those commercials. And you've probably heard many times about how many people have switched to GEICO. Millions. But what you might not know is how many people stay with GEICO once they've switched. In fact, on average, GEICO customers who are federal employees have stayed with the company for over 20 years. Now that's customer satisfaction. Sound like a good deal to you? Then just call GEICO at 1-800-947-AUTO or go online to geico.com and find out how much you could save.
Welcome back to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I am Tony Vernetti, and today I'm talking about how young feds are staying engaged as federal employees. And I'm very fortunate to have Steve Ressler, the founder and president of GovLoop, on the phone with us. If you have a question or a comment, please give us a call. Our toll-free number is 1-877-936-9333, or you can always email us your question at fedtalk@federalnewsradio.com. When I started the show, Steve, you sort of introduced GovLoop as, you know, I like to refer to it as, you know, Facebook for feds, but it, you know, from our discussion, it's so much more than that. And you talked about LinkedIn. I guess my question for you, you know, somebody like myself who was, you know, super busy running around doing a lot of different things, wearing a lot of different hats. I don't have a whole lot of time to get engaged in all the various, you know, social media, but yet I want to. I mean, how do you do it all? Like, how, you know, somebody do LinkedIn, do GovLoop, you still got to do Facebook. Are you guys working on mechanisms to intertwine all those?
I get that question a lot. I think it's like anything in life. So, for example, there's a million great associations in D.C. that you could be a part of. If you're on the topic here, a young Fed today, right? You know, there's local ones for your community, for, you know, affiliation if you're really into whatever, if you're into your school. You could spend all your time going to association meetings every day. But I always encourage people to find one that you love and get a lot of value out of it. I think if you're a young Fed and really want to meet other passionate Feds and work on your career, I would focus on young government leaders more than the Clemson alumni group of D.C. But that's just me. And other people, kind of based on your preference, decide where to devote time. And personally, what I do is, A, there are some mechanisms and tools to use multiple channels. So there are tools, and Dave's actually an expert on this, like Hootsuite's one, where you can bring in your Facebook, your LinkedIn, Twitter in one spot. So there's tools to do that. And then there's also different usage patterns. So for me, I use Facebook. I check in a couple times a day because to me that's my way to keep up with my friends. I send a lot less emails to my friends that say, hey, how's it going, than I did 4 years ago. And then I'm on GovLoop obviously a lot since I run it, but also when I had the idea, I used it to get an idea, a snapshot of, hey, what's going on in government right now? What are some cool things I should know about? And then tactically, when I had a problem, I would go. So you might not go back three times a day, but your boss just asked you to do something, or you're thinking about training for your IDP. That's when you go to GovLoop. So I think that's an important thing. I think people get overwhelmed. They're like, I have to do everything. I think the key is to pick a couple, try them, and the ones that work the best for you, focus more time on. In the same way, I would encourage people We always say with young government leaders, there's a great opportunity to be on the advisory board of young government leaders, get to speak at, you know, great places like Federal News Radio. It's just investing more time in one association versus doing 20 lightly.
So, yeah, Steve, this is Dave. I really want to build on what you said there. I think, now Steve and I were on a panel for social media not too long ago, so we address this with new users all the time. And I really think something that's helpful for people is to think about the appropriate use for different tools. You know, social media networks, they should be of value to you. So I have a pretty simple framework. LinkedIn is all about kind of who you know in the professional sense. So, you know, if you're interested in who you know, LinkedIn's your tool. Facebook is kind of who we are. You know, it's your everyday life, your pictures, people getting married, people with new pictures of babies. You know, that's good stuff. But again, that's a little bit distinct. Something like Twitter is pretty much, you know, what's going on right now? What's up? So if you have time to figure that out or you're interested, that's the tool for you. But for me, GovLoop is really all about what you do. And it's the only professional network out there for kind of the craft of being a public servant. So that's why I think there's a lot of value there, and it helps build your professional development.
And to add to that, I think one of the things we think of at YGL is we use we're sort of like GovLoop on the ground.
Right.
You know, YGL has all these different social events and ways to get together. So, you know, we post stuff on GovLoop. We use GovLoop as an online tool, but then we actually get together on the ground. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd be remiss as, you know, being the only lawyer in a room here to also point out that particularly federal employees should definitely make themselves aware of their agency's use policy regarding internet and computers, and you know, make sure, you know, as you're using a LinkedIn, Facebook, you know, and GovLoop, that you're consistent with your agency's policies. Have you run any of the issues along those lines, Steve?
We haven't, and I think this is actually a good question to bring up because it's often brought up. That it actually fits in the same agency use policies for everything. So, for example, if you're in the intelligence community, right, you're not allowed to talk about, you know, secret information. And that applies whether you're at a neighborhood picnic, whether you're with your wife or partner, whether you are at a happy hour, at a bar, in the same, or even at an association or a conference or an event. You're not allowed to share that stuff.
Right.
And the same is true online. And, you know, we have seen, you know, I have seen examples of federal employees, and they often get blown up, getting in big trouble. Maybe they were in Iraq and posted some photos on Facebook. Well, they got in trouble because that's something that you can't do regardless of venues, right? You can't share information about a secret, you know, not secret project, but, you know, something that's a
well, they could have been in a classified location or,
yeah,
or what have you, or not even allowed to have a camera where they were.
Yeah, so it's the same sort of thing that applies online. I think the key is to be smart. If you feel comfortable sharing it, you know, if you're talking in a work environment, would you be comfortable sharing it with other people around? And on GovLoop, it's been great because the conversation is kind of like the conversation here today, where, you know, Dave and JR are speaking. It's all about making government better and sharing best practices. You know, GovLoop's not a place to go bash your boss or to talk about a sensitive RFP that's about to hit the street. And we make that clear in our engagement policies that, you know, don't come here and say, hey, I work at CBP and we're about to release an RFP and I love X, you know, contractor. and we've been lucky because people haven't done that.
That's an invitation to the OIG, the Office of Inspector General, coming to visit you.
Yeah, exactly. People are smarter than you think. You got to give them credit.
Right. And the other we're talking about, you're talking about subject matter sort of restrictions here. And the other one I would just mention are the time restrictions. Most, just like telephones, have policies that, you know, you're allowed to, you know, get on the internet and use these, you know, these sites as long as they're safe. So long as, you know, it's a reasonable amount of time. You know, you're not, you know, if you're spending all day on there, you're going to have a problem. So you want to be watch out for that. Steve, I want to, in the final few minutes we have, final 5 minutes with you, I want to talk a little bit about some of the initiatives that GovLoop has been involved in. I know there was the march. I know that there was a big something to do with government doesn't suck. I wonder if you can comment on those.
Yeah, I'll talk about the March, and maybe I'll close up with the conference we actually hold in conjunction with YGL.
Yeah, the summit. Yeah. I want to close. Yeah, the perfect.
Yeah, so I don't, people have probably seen this, but maybe a month ago now, Washington posted a big survey and interviewing citizens what they think about government employees. And basically the results said most people think government employees are lazy, incompetent, overpaid. I actually saw a couple of blogs that said that they're overweight, unattractive, and all these like basically horrible things. And we thought, you know, as someone who's passionate about public service, I'm like, that's just not true, right? You know, there's millions of government employees. I think there's 2 million feds working hard every day to make our water safe, our streets safe, protect us from terrorism, help our economy. And I thought it would be funny to have kind of a joke, kind of cheeky rally against this concept. And actually, I came up with ideas because I was Googling online and I saw last year someone hosted a government sucks rally. And it was literally a bunch of people got together and said government sucks. And I thought it'd be awesome to do a counter rally, which basically said government doesn't suck / government is awesome. So about, you know, 7 blocks away from Stewart and Colbert when they did their big rally, we stayed aside because we don't want to be seen as politics. We think good government's neutral. We basically had a rally that said, we had signs that said, government doesn't suck, government is awesome, I am not red tape. And basically, we had over 100 people came by at some point, and basically, we were, you know, taking a stand saying government is awesome, kind of, we're proud to be public servants. And what's been cool is we got coverage across the globe on this issue, and I think that's something important that we need to think about, and it may be a generation thing. When government employees are getting attacked, and they often are these days, we need to be creative in telling the story of why public service is important.
No, I think you hit the message perfectly, and I think it comes from those of you, you know, who are currently serving. I mean, I'm a former, you know, federal employee myself. You know, I served in the military, you know, as well, and in both stints, I had tremendous pride. You know, I was very proud of my service, and I would talk about it early and often, and I still do. Like I'm talking about it now on the radio show. And I think it's important, particularly for those of you that are having really positive experiences in the federal government, to get out there and tell others about it, and tell them, you know, there's a sense of patriotism in it, you know, a sense of service, you know, that you're really doing something with a purpose. And, you know, I think that's, you know, very important as we talk about, you know, attracting, you know, the best and the brightest to the government, you know, which is what we want.
And if I could just add, I mean, a lot of people forget how many government workers are out there. It's not just feds and military. It's policemen, it's teachers, it's, you know, the whole gamut. So people forget the local government types too. That really adds up.
Right, right. Steve, I wonder if you could talk a little bit about the summit that you all had with YGL.
Yeah, so this has actually been a dream of mine and Dave and others in YGL for years. So when we created YGL, it was mainly about getting people together that were young and passionate about government. And we always thought, you know, wouldn't it be amazing if one day we could have our own conference, you know, a place that addressed the issues we were tackling with every day, stuff like how do you, you know, handle being a boss of people younger than you? How do you deal with being a manager for the first time? You know, how do you deal with creating innovation in government? You got all these good ideas. How do you sell them internally? And last year, Dave and Tim Simella, who's the current YGL president, we came together and said, we should actually do this year. We're going to call it Next Generation of Government Summit. It's going to be 2 days, kind of for us, by us, for young feds on, you know, how to meet other people like you and how to do your job better. So last year we had over 300 people. We had it over in Ballston. We had great sessions and intros. We had Matt Collier, who's the political appointee at OPM, who's a young fed, talked about making government cool again. We had Bill Eggers, who wrote a great book, If We Put a Man on the Moon, How to Get Big Things Done in Government. We had great sessions, like I said, mentioned before, on how to be a manager, how to be a project manager and get your projects done, how to create innovation and technology and acquisition. And I think Dave can talk about it more. I think the thing that was really, really special about it is there was just an energy and buzz of getting this many smart, passionate people in a room. And I always joke, I was downstairs at the lobby of the event, and a bellman comes to me. He's like, what's this conference? I said, oh, it's Next Generation Government, Young Feds. And he's like, I didn't know government employees look like that.
They're not all overweight.
And that they actually were that energetic. And it was just really impressive to me to see everyone, you know, dressed up in suits and just, you know, passionate about how to do their job better. And it just had a great energy. And I encourage anyone listening to send their staff or themselves to attend next year. It's the website's NextGenGov, NextGenGovt. It's going to be in late July next year.
Steve, thank you. We're going to have to stop here for our second break, and we know you're a very busy man, so we will let you go. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Well, thanks so much, Anthony, and good to always be on the call, Dave and JR.
We'll continue our discussion after this break. You're listening to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Could save 15% on car insurance. When you say that you work for the federal government, many people out there immediately picture you wearing a suit, driving a government-issue sedan, and living in D.C. While that may be true for some, in reality, federal employees have a wider variety of jobs than most people could ever imagine, from postal workers to CIA agents, from working in an office to working in outer space. These jobs are all so different that it's hard to believe they have something in common, but they do. And that similarity is GEICO. As employees of the federal government, many of these people may be eligible for additional discounts on top of GEICO's already low rates. And just because the cost is lower doesn't mean that GEICO's service is anything less than top rate. So whether you're in animal control or air traffic control, call GEICO at 1-800-947-AUTO. Or go online to geico.com and find out how much you could save.
I'm Deborah Roth, host of Fed Talk and partner at the law firm of Shaw, Bransford & Roth. Our firm specializes in helping federal employees with legal issues concerning their jobs or benefits. For two decades, we have been representing federal employees in adverse action cases, employment discrimination complaints, inspector general and internal affairs investigations, security clearance issues, and other federal employment disputes. If you have a legal concern, don't wait. Call Shaw, Bransford & Roth at 202-463-8400 or visit our website at shawbransford.com.
Welcome back to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I am Tony Vernetti, and I'm joined in studio today with David Uwejo and J.R. Wysinski from the Young Government Leaders. If you would like to be part of our discussion today, give us a call at 1-877-936-9333 or email us a question at fedtalk@federalnewsradio.com. David, I want to, we've sort of been jumping around here a little bit, but I want to take a step back and you know, introduce the Young Government Leaders as an organization to our listeners. And you're on the board, right?
Vice President.
Nice to meet you, Mr. Vice President. and JR, your role,
Communications Officer.
Chief Communications Officer.
Very imperial sounding.
We like the titles. but Dave, go ahead and introduce the association for us.
Yeah, thanks a lot. So YGL is the premier professional association for young feds. We got about 1,800 members. We have 8 chapters located around the nation and growing. And really, we're all about 3 things. You know, YGL's goals are to educate, inspire, and transform. And the way we do that, I think, is by connecting young feds who might not otherwise know how to find one another by providing good leadership development and skills-building activities for them to hone their skills and kind of get them to that next level. And then finally, by providing them other opportunities, both to serve the public outside of their 9-to-5, 9-to-9 job, whatever that may be, and volunteer to really help build communities across the country.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to point out, and JR, you were hinting on this on our last segment, that we're talking more than just federal government. I mean, you all are reaching out, you know, military, state and locals, you know, anybody, you know, involved in public service, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, our membership goes from somewhere to Mozambique. We have international members. We're literally the biggest non-agency specific group.
Uh-huh.
We cover 30% of the federal agencies, and then we have literally hundreds of members from local government, the whole spectrum.
Okay, this is a really stupid question, but we're talking about young government leaders. Is there an age restriction? How do you identify, you know, where the young government leaders, you know, where they're from?
I think that's a great question.
When do you graduate from being a young government leader?
Middle when you make the transfer to middle-aged government leaders.
So I'm too old.
No, I mean, I think for us, we've always strove to sort of provide this service for three distinct populations. And obviously the number one is straight up young. You know, if you're recently out of school, recently out of grad school, hey, this is the organization for you. What it turns out, though, is that a lot of the questions that those folks have are the same questions people have that are re-careering. So if you're young in your federal career, you may have spent 20 years in the private sector, but the, you know, federal pay system and benefit system is just as much of a mystery to you as anybody else. We're here to help you out as well. And then finally, and it's kind of, we say this lightheartedly, but we have a lot of supporters who are kind of young at heart, who really believe in the YGL mission, who've been there before and want to see our members succeed, and they really back us as well.
I'll be the young at heart one.
And just another quick sort of catchy label is we like to say fresh feds.
Right.
So whoever's fresh to the government, and that should be more inclusive than just feds. I mean, it really is just anybody who's fresh to government.
Right, right. And I guess tell us a little bit about your organization. I mean, it's not just here in D.C. I mean, you have chapters and presence, you know, throughout the country.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I think this is great building on JR's point. YGL is kind of GovLoop in the flesh, you know, and Steve was talking earlier about that Next Gen Summit, bringing that kind of energy together on one day. YGL is kind of having a Next Gen Summit every single day. And so for us, we've got chapters that implement events along our core themes, leadership development, skills training, connecting people in a social environment, and sort of helping out communities all across the country. And then in addition to that, we have kind of a growing presence on places like GovLoop, resources that'll span the internet to help folks located kind of where they are.
And we've got a number of folks, we call them chapter lifts, where they were somewhere, for example, a new person on our board just moved from Denver, where she was a member of the Denver chapter. So mm-hmm. we've got folks who sort of pull into the DC area mm-hmm. from other chapters as well.
And I guess, tell us about some of the services, I guess, that you provide your members and events. You know, what if somebody's going to join, what should they expect to get?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so
more than happy hours, right?
Oh, yeah.
But there are happy hours, right?
There are happy hours. Don't worry. We have happy hours.
All right.
But, you know, I think certainly in a place like D.C., you can't go 2 days or 2 hours without finding a young happy hour group, right? And so I think the thing that really sets us apart is, again, we have these three sort of themes. So one, we really want to connect people in social settings, and that's way beyond happy hours. That can involve races. We have book clubs. We have discussions of current events over coffee, hikes, you kind of name it. YGL is really at its core a member-driven organization. So each chapter might have kind of its own local identity and events that they want. The second thing that we really touch on is leadership and skill development. Most of our members come in with big aspirations. They want to come lead the federal government at some point in their career. But the question is, how are they going to develop the skills to get there and be successful? How are they going to navigate the public service community? And so we host a variety of talks, lectures. Obviously, the Next Gen of Government Summit is kind of our marquee leadership development event. And we also have a variety of articles. We post in FedManager and GovLoop and a variety of different venues to help those people out. And then finally, we have a lot of public service commitment. You know, as you know, the folks out there that work for the government is a really great people that want to help serve their communities. So we do hands-on DC here. We paint school buildings. We'll do food drives and work at soup kitchens. All the kinds of things that allow people to really scratch that itch of helping society.
And we're happy to announce we have our first YGL marriage. We had two members got together and love bloomed, and we've got a YGL marriage. I won't release the names, but we're happy to report that. So,
well, we'll come back next year and hopefully report the first YGL baby.
There you go.
So let me ask, how does somebody join YGL, and does it cost anything?
Well, and this, I think, is the best part, right? Our value proposition. You get all that stuff. To join YGL is completely free. All you have to do is go to our website, younggovernmentleaders.org. You sign up, tell us a little bit about yourself, and you're in.
Get beat free.
Just like that. tell us, I guess I want to, a little bit more about the issues. I mean, what is, you know, every group, every professional association, they sort of have their core issues. I mean, it's kind of, we joke about the happy hours and things like that. And although I believe there's no professional setting that can't benefit from injecting alcohol to it. But I mean, you guys are much more than that, and you have, certain core issues that you're trying to promote and you're out there speaking on, want to be heard on. Tell us a little bit about those.
Well, there's a whole gamut of issues we could go through, but and Dave and I could sit here for hours and talk. I know we're on a time constraint, but some of the big things I think are, fighting through generational stereotypes is one. Dave mentioned, or I think it was Steve mentioned, you might be a younger person who's become a manager and you're managing folks from much different generations as far as, the World War II generation. So, fighting through that, there's other issues about recruiting, retention, you name it. There's stuff all around. Dave, are you?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a really good point, too, is that, and working in the HR community, particularly, there's, I think, a lot of books that have come out. It's been a hot topic. How do the generations either coexist? How do you work in the workplace? And sometimes I think people end up getting stuck with kind of generational stereotypes about what drives people to work. And previously you had this space where you had folks that had been well-established in the federal workforce going to other well-established folks saying, here's what we think those crazy kids want. And, YGL, I think, offers us a better venue to have kind of a central voice. It's always better, I think, to establish the relationship, make some connections with some young feds and really figure out, what are the differences? But I think we focus too much on the differences. What are the similarities that are going to make us more effective in the workplace? So that's definitely something that YGL tries to build, that bridge.
And I mean, is this, I hear so often they talk about bridging the generational gap. But how do you do that? I mean, is it about opening lines of communication? Is it about teaching, teaching me how to get on Facebook?
I think it's a number of
things like that.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of, your quote unquote soft skills and opportunities to involve folks who are younger in their service. I mean, it's important to have leadership development programs that will pull folks in who haven't been given that, real explicit authority yet. So I think you have to have those developments. I think it helps all feds to have things like cross-training and, teaming across divisions to where you can build up skills without necessarily having that seniority and a formal position of authority. So mm-hmm. I think things like that are important for young feds and all feds.
Mm-hmm. And I guess tell me what sort of, events as far as, for your members, your group. I know a big focus is leadership development. I could point out, for people who want to join and serve, there's positions on the board. That's great stuff to put on your resume. I could tell you as somebody who hires, things like that. I mean, that's great. But I know you guys, you bring in speakers, you do things to help with public speaking and things like that. I wonder if you can comment on that.
Yeah, I think I'd like to start with the summit. The summit was kind of the realization of this larger vision for how we help get people from point A to point B. Young feds come in, they've got the drive. What they might not have is the experience and the skills. So, when we designed the summit in partnership with GovLoop, we were really explicit to focus on, A, inspiring people. That's part of our mission, to stick it out as feds, to really have pride in their service, but also to give them some concrete skills to walk away with. And I think we did that in a couple of ways. We had trainings on things like public speaking, on working with data, on being effective in your presentations, on managing up and sort of creating a coherent message, all of those things that they're going to be able to take back to their desk right away. Another thing that was important for us in planning the summit was to have as many of the presenters be people that had made it. It was, of course, when you went to the conference, it was astonishing to see so many bright, energized young people. But I think that energy translated to the speakers, too. You saw people like Matt Collier, special assistant to John Barry. You saw a lot of people that were young, successful, kind of the whole package, and they were able to kind of model the things that people wanted. So, we try and hold events in that vein where we're able to bring people both the inspiration they need to be successful, but explicit skills training so that they walk away with something they can use at work.
And didn't I read somewhere you had Shelley Metzenbaum come and do a presentation for you all?
Yeah, we had an event, I guess it was back during the summer, where she came in and spoke, and we must have had 50, 60 people there on a wide range of topics, but all relating to, you know, performance and measuring performance and how do you align strategic plans with all that. So it was a great event. It was great exposure. She was thrilled. It's helped members along in their career. So it was a great win for us.
All right. We're going to stop here and hear a word from our sponsor. When we return, we'll wrap up our discussion about YGL's upcoming plans for 2011. You're listening to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
And now, a word from our good friends at GEICO, where you could save 15% on car insurance. By now, you've no doubt seen those car insurance commercials with the talking gecko on TV. He's always talking about how people could save 15% or more switching to GEICO. Well, that sounds like a pretty good deal in and of itself. But get this. If you're an employee of the federal government, you may be eligible to save even more than that. That's something the Gecko didn't mention in all those commercials. And you've probably heard many times about how many people have switched to Geico. Millions. But what you might not know is how many people stay with Geico once they've switched. In fact, on average, Geico customers who are federal employees have stayed with the company for over 20 years. Now that's customer satisfaction. Sound like a good deal to you? Then just call GEICO at 1-800-947-AUTO or go online to geico.com and find out how much you could save.
Welcome back to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We're entering our last segment of the show, so if you're listening and you want to get a question in, please give us a call at 877-936-9333, or you can email us a question at fedtalk@federalnewsradio.com. One of the things, guys, as we were talking, that occurred to me, we hear so much these days in the federal government about this human capital crisis, this, you know, brain drain that's going on, and this lack of being able to recruit the new talent, or, you know, even we're able to recruit, you know, we're having troubles with retention, and then we talk a lot about a lot of the big stuff that's going on with OPM is the new hiring. You know, how can we streamline the hiring? You know, streamline the security clearance process. You know, I mean, I would think, you know, your organization, you know, a lot of your members should have a lot to, you know, say about that. You know, can, you know, be the almost the subject matter experts, you know, if you will. I mean, those of us who have been, you know, doing it for a while, I mean, think we know, but you don't really know. I mean, you don't know what's in the mind of the, you know, the young worker. I mean, you know, I think Steve was talking about his dad who, under CSRS, which is the old retirement system in the federal government, what we call the golden handcuffs. You know, it rewarded you for staying around and actually punished you for leaving. So we kept federal employees around, you know, a lot. And when they changed the retirement legislation and went to FERS, and they made things a bit more portable, they wanted to be more flexible, we wanted to be more like the private sector, well, be careful what you ask for, because then things are portable and people, you know, moved around a lot. I mean, I myself, you know, did 7-8 years, you know, in the civilian, you know, government, and then, you know, wanted to move on. Are you guys, you know, I know you're involved in that, but are you taking any initiatives to reach out to OPM or vice versa?
Yeah, I think that's a perfect topic for us. You know, when we've been thinking about this a lot, you know, what are really key young Fed issues that YGL can help be the voice for? And I think nothing is more important to our kind of membership than getting and keeping young people in the federal workforce. And, you know, as you sort of mentioned, Tony, there's this imperative. I know people for years really talked about, oh, the looming retirement tsunami, and that sort of never came yet because of the economic conditions. But the thing about retirement is, you know, it's going to happen sooner or later, right? So the economy improves, you're going to have the same problem. So we might have kind of bought a stay of execution on that topic, but the problem is ultimately still real. I think this is also kind of a golden opportunity if the federal government is kind of astute enough to grab it right now. You know, the economic conditions right now have created kind of a specifically bad economic situation for young people. You know, there's college graduates coming out of really top institutions now, and everyone's having a hard time finding work. And many of those folks are energized by the notion of public service. So if there are things we can do with hiring reform, with mechanisms and authorities to help get those people into the federal workforce, this may be kind of the second JFK moment. You know, ask not what your country can do for you to recruit energized young people to meet what we know is going to be an existential need for the government. So YGL is really on that. And I know JR is our communications guy, so I'll tip to you.
Yeah, no, I think Dave hit on a great point. You know, the economy has sort of stalled some of that exodus, but it's coming whether we're prepared or not. So I think, you know, organizations like ours are trying to fill in a lot of those gaps where we're trying to get young folks engaged and excited about federal work and government work in general. And I think there's a lot of good movements. You know, OPM's new hiring reforms is a good step. And you have to be careful. You want to balance observing all the different legal protections and all the reasons why the government does things maybe more, sometimes more traditional than other, like the private sector. But at the same time, you don't want to make it a 3 to 4 month period to hire somebody. That's just crazy.
And then there are, like you just pointed out, recently the career intern program, you know, for all intents and purposes was given a death sentence when the MSPB, the Merit Systems Protection Board, said it violated the Veterans Preference Acts or Veteran Preference Laws. So you certainly, you know, there are, you know, it's not an easy solution. There are things you need to work around. But I mean, where I personally see them lacking is on recruitment. I mean, I was drawn to public service because I was in the military right out of high school. You know, then it was a military uniform or a McDonald's one for me, so it was an easy choice. And then from there, when after I went to school, went to law school, it was just something that I was drawn to. I think because of my military experience. Steve Ressler was on the phone. Sounds like it was his family's experience. In public service that sort of drew him to it. You know, and Dave, I think you work at NIH, and I think you were part of a, one of the programs.
I was a PMF coming in and stuck around.
Yeah. And JR, I
honestly fell into it. I had no real connection through my family. I mean, my dad was in the military, but not really through the civilian side. So I was sort of an outlier falling into it. So.
Yeah, and I just, I guess what I'm getting at is I just don't see enough, recruitment on the campuses, are kind of communicating, Steve, what government's cool. And it sounds a little, dorky or nerdy, whatever. but I mean, when you think about what the government does, I mean, it is pretty cool. I mean, there are a lot of great jobs, whether you're protecting, the country, homeland defense, working in the mail system, working in technology, working in energy, education, VA. I mean, there are just a lot of fun jobs, and if I've always said you work hard, I mean, they're the advancements are there for you.
Yeah, I mean, I think I really echo that. And the funny thing is that's really not totally a young fit issue, right? When you're looking for an employer, people want to do kind of three things. Especially public servants, they want to do good in this world. They want to be put in a position where they can be successful at what they do. And they want to have a good time. They want to have fun working. That doesn't mean goofing off. That doesn't mean always scanning social networks. That just means enjoying the work that they do. And so I think from our perspective, we want to build a community that supports that for young feds across agencies. And, I got to tell you, even in this economic condition, I'm going to give a shout out to Partnership for Public Service. They just released a report on turnover in the workplace, and there's a tremendous amount of churn about people who have been here 2 years or less. Not all those folks are young, but many of them are. And that kind of speaks to either a cultural problem with the way we're doing business, or maybe a mismatch, misalignment between way people are coming in. Because, you know, if that's what's occurring even in this economy, you know, we can't really rely on the down economy to keep retention going either. You know, and frankly, I think we're all going to be a heck of a lot better off once we get this economy moving again. But we need to be positioned to, again, like you said, really recruit, put our best foot forward on campus, and deliver the jobs that people are going to want to do, whether they are young or not.
And I'll totally concur with you, Tony. I was a volunteer college recruiter the day I stepped in to work at the census. And, you know, I really enjoyed doing that, and I didn't see as much of that from other agencies or from other just across the government. And I think you're totally right. We can do so much more to communicate, A, what we do, and also to just recruit people. I mean, I would show up on a campus and people would say, wow, I didn't know anything about you guys. I never even heard of you. And it's like crossing that divide, I think, is key to getting folks interested and involved.
Mm-hmm. Now, you guys, I'm curious how you deal with the sort of, you know, as we talked about, you know, before, the anti-federal rhetoric that's out there, and you know, you guys are out and about, you know, happy hours, book clubs, you know, all the social, you know, networking stuff. You know, I'm sure you hear some of that from your peers. I mean, what do you say to that?
I think it's a tired stereotype, but it, you know, it's funny. You see it on Saturday Night Live, and you always see it, and ultimately it is just a stereotype. And I sort of equate it to, if you travel abroad, you know, you always hear, oh, people hate America, but they love individual Americans. And I sort of equate it to that. Like, people want to say, oh, I hate big government, but if you're the one helping them get, you know, food assistance or Social Security benefits, then they'll love to work with you. So it's sort of like that. It's like beating that old stereotype.
Well, and I think this really ties back to what we discussed at the top of the hour. You know, we all know we're doing good work, but sometimes government's not the best at getting out there and telling that story. I think sometimes the best thing you can do is be a great public servant and have your neighbors know it. You know, my neighbors know I work hard. They know that I'm pulling extra weight. They know that I'm helping improve the lives of Americans. That's more convincing than maybe, you know, any sort of post that I could put up on Facebook. You know, you got to
I echo that. If you're out there, you're a federal employee, you're proud about your job, you should say so. You know, and people should know it. And you know, I'm always, you know, as I've sort of left the federal government, I live my career vicariously through, you know, my former law practice and now at Feds and my company. You know, I still have tremendous respect for those who serve, and, you know, I try to, you know, honor them as, you know, as much as I can. I love hearing about their jobs and things like that, you know, cause, you know, they're so different and vast sometimes. Quickly, in the minute or so that we have left, I want to give us a little bit, sort of a thumbnail sketch of really what YGL has planned for 2011.
Well, I think, you know, as Steve mentioned, we're still going to be an integral partner in the next gen summit in July of next year. That's a big marquee event for us. But like Dave already said, every week we have numerous events through our almost 10 different chapters. We have the happy hours, the social events, but we also have speaker series. So we have a lot of stuff going on. You can always check it out on our website, but there's something every week.
Yeah, and I do want to tease, just to wrap it up, you know, you're talking about recruitment. One of the things we're going to be doing in a partnership with GovLoop soon is helping folks out with their resumes, young federal employees, trying to get them some skills and help to get in the door. That way we're practicing what we preach. So that'll be coming up on GovLoop soon. Keep your eyes open.
And I know you guys are, you know, you don't charge dues, so, you know, it's, money's important, and I know sponsorships are important, so, you know, I know some organizations this year have stepped up. My company, for example, Feds, and
thank you,
Monster, and a big shout out to Geico. They're really stepped up to the plate for you, and obviously they're a sponsor of this show here today, so their commitment and dedication to the federal government and those who serve is really second to none. So I did want to mention that. Guys, that's all the time we have for the show today. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And for those of you listening, thanks for joining us. Fed Talk is brought to you by the attorneys of Shaw, Bransford, and Roth. Have a great weekend.